And Father, we receive, as we asked last year, the greater manifestation of your kingdom and of your glory. We believe what we've asked for. We believed what you put in our hearts to release, to see it manifest on this earth as it is in heaven. So we want to thank you that even today we can once again just declare your greatness. We can declare the reality of your presence manifesting in the lives of people all over. Lord, in the time of this nation where we're seeing the flooding and the rain and all that's taking place, and yet your word says that your glory covers the earth. Your incredible loving kindness fills the whole earth. And we thank you that you are opening our eyes to see your grace in every situation of our lives. And we thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you as you just reveal to us and you work in our lives and how you just open up truth and take us into the discovery, but not just the knowledge, into the reality of knowing the goodness of God, knowing Him, experiencing and our Heavenly Father who He really is. So we want to thank you that in your way you have removed us bit by bit, or yet you are continually doing this, taking us out of the religious God and into the reality of knowing you as the true, real Father and Son, Jesus Christ. So Lord Jesus, as we have communion later on, as we come in your name this morning, is what you have done in bringing us to the Father, setting us free. So based on your incredible work on the cross, your finished work in your death and your resurrection, the victory, today we receive every spiritual blessing that we have in you, Jesus. We're beginning to receive the fullness of that. So we thank you as you teach us and guide us in this. And this, Father, we come so that again your name is glorified here on earth, so that men and women and children, no matter who, will be able to experience what it is to be in your incredible manifest presence. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As we shared earlier on, today is about us learning how to receive from our Father. And it's when we have been speaking about the gift of righteousness, that understanding and receiving the gift of righteousness is almost the foundation for us to be able to receive everything else from God, because it's based on what Christ has done. And so, just to quickly recap before we go into just a time of receiving as we have the communion this morning. Paul, when the apostles and many of the letters that they open up with, you will always find they will have a greeting and they will say, grace and peace from our Heavenly God, our Heavenly Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. So, Paul is doing something, the writers are doing something, in as they write these letters, they have received something from God, and they're releasing it over us even today. So you and I are receiving what Paul and the apostles had received, and they decreed the grace, because grace and truth comes through Jesus. So they have released it, and we are receiving that. And so we see there that many, many times we let me just read, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important for us to know how to receive God's grace. It's important for us to know how to receive the gift of righteousness. It's important for us to know how to be able to receive from our Heavenly Father, because grace is our Father leaning forwards, giving Himself to us. Even though we may think we don't deserve it, that's why the gift of righteousness is so crucial. Because as we listen and as we go through the weeks, one of the big stumbling blocks while people battle to receive is because they believe they're not good enough, they're not worthy to receive from God. Because they have not yet been able to understand what the righteousness of God is all about, the gift of righteousness that we have received. And so they're not yet able to receive being in Christ Jesus. And that they're still trying to receive being in Adam. And that's a tough place to be because of sin consciousness and I'm not good enough, and et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's why the gospel, the good news of God, can be quite a stumbling block, because it's so hard for us to be able to really be able to receive the goodness of God. We're not used to that. We've always got to perform. We've got all these things to do to be accepted, etc. But in Christ, it's totally different because He has done what we could not have done. So we've been looking at that over the past few weeks. So back in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, let me just repeat over there. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is a power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. For in this gospel, this incredible good news concerning Jesus Christ, a righteousness, that which is right in the eyes of God, everything that is perfect in the sight of God, in the ways of God, that perfection is now given to you and I. And how do we get that perfection? How do we get the absolute perfection of God? The right, everything is absolutely 100% perfect in the eyes of God, in the mind of God, in the ways of God, in everything about God. This is, you got my approval. Absolutely perfection. How do we receive this gift of perfection? Well, we see over here, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. Again, you see, as we shared last time, it's something that God must make known to you and I. We can't go and just buy it off the shelf. We can't just go and get it. It's a revelation. It's a gift. God sent His Son, Jesus. So the righteousness of God was revealed to mankind in the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the life of Jesus Christ. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So here we see this incredible gift, as we've been speaking, where Christ's perfection is absolute obedience to the Father and fulfilling all the high standards, the perfect standards of God. Jesus did that for you and I. We could not have done that. And the gospel, this good news, is all about what Christ has done. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have faith coming into us, and now we simply believe Jesus. We've given our life to Jesus. We've accepted Christ Jesus. Christ is real. The Father is real. We have received that gift of perfection. So now in Christ, we are now in a right standing. So in Christ, we are in a standing of perfection. Okay. So that's the gift of righteousness that we've been looking at. Now, and then last week we began to look the reality with this gift. We see there that grace reigns through this gift of righteousness. So how does grace work? How do we live in the favor and the goodness of God? How do we receive God's involvement in our lives? How do we receive the incredible goodness of God in our lives? How do we receive everything about God as a Heavenly Father? How do we receive that in our lives? Simply because we have received the grace, we received the gift of righteousness. So all the Father's incredible doing for us is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? Now we who believe, able to receive. Those who do not believe, God's goodness is still through Jesus Christ. And it's all around them, but they don't recognize it, and they have not yet been able to really receive this incredible, abundant life and to live reconciled back to the Father. But God pours rain on the unrighteous and the righteous. God is good to the enemies of Him and to those who love Him. You see, He's kind and merciful, and that's who He is. But it's all we experience it firsthand because we have received Jesus Christ, and it's through Him that all of these blessings of God becomes our reality. Okay, and that's why for us it's sometimes very hard to be able to receive, because we don't know that in Christ I'm righteous with Him. I have a right standing. Face to face, I'm accepted. I can be loved by Him. We don't know how to receive His love. God is relational. So what do? We look at our spouses, we look at people, and because we're relational and created in the image of God, we can give that love and we can receive love, but we keep on looking at people to be loved, and they keep on falling short, and now we have a wobbly. And that, because we don't know, God is relational. We don't know how to receive the Father's love and not stay on ground-bound love, but now to move into kingdom love, heavenly love, God's love, and to live from that realm, so that whether people on the earth will not love us or not, it's okay. Because now I know how to receive the Father's love. I know how to live in the reality of the Father's love. I'm no longer ground-bound. I'm in the kingdom of light. I'm in Christ Jesus. We've been raised, seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. So we're learning now, and that's part of the great ministry that you and I have in not only in our own personal lives, how to not live ground bound, but how to now begin to receive from the Father all the spiritual realities in His Son Jesus Christ. How to receive, as we said last, how do we receive Christ's, the benefits of Christ's obedience? How do we receive the benefits or the fruitfulness of Christ's perfection? It's the gift that you and I have received in Christ. That's the gift of righteousness that we're speaking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where we speak about the incredible power of God. I'm going to just read a few verses, verse 17, 18. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is a power of God. And then he carries on, and he speaks about the wisdom of man, etc., etc., but he comes and he says over here, it is because of Him, Jesus Christ, because of God, because of Him, referring to God over here, the Father, because of our Heavenly Father, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So here we see very clearly here that Jesus has become our righteousness. He has become our holiness. Okay? He has become our redemption. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. So we have received, and that's why then he says there, let him who boast, boast in the Lord. And this word boast is a beautiful word, because it means over here, guys, I now are at an advantage point. I'm now in Christ Jesus. See, I'm boasting in Him. See, I'm no longer over here trying to be righteous. I'm no longer here trying to be wise. I'm no longer here trying to redeem and have eternal life in my own ability. No, by faith I've received the gift, and that Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our redemption. We're in Him. And now I can boast in Him. This is what He has done for us. See, so we're at a higher, no longer ground bound. We're now at a higher place. We're in the kingdom of God. That's our advantage point now, being in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. So now we can boast in our Lord Jesus, what He has done. He's done a pretty good job, because I don't know about you, my life was a mess. And He's done a pretty decent job, you know, in being my righteousness. No one else would do it, you know that, eh? But He did it for us. Hey, imagine if He didn't do it for you and I, to become our righteousness. There's no hope, you know. We would keep on falling short all the time. Never. And the reality of religion is that, because religion is, have I done enough to be accepted by God? You know, that whole measurement, scaling good works with bad works, whatever the case may be. Have I done enough? But in Christ, Christ said, it is finished. He's done enough. And so we live in His done enough. That's our gift. And everything, the fruit of His obedience, is our reality. Now that we've received that gift, now we have been given the Holy Spirit. And as we looked at last week, it's the Spirit of God, because now a circumcision has taken place. This is a spiritual circumcision now that cuts us off from the power of Adam nature. And we've now been baptized into Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So now we receive the life of the Holy Spirit. How do we receive the working of the Holy Spirit to enable us now to live righteously? We've received the gift. We've also received the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. So now as we learn how to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, because we received His mighty work within us, now we find there's a change taking place. Now the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is now the new powerful force, powerful working within me as a believer. See, that's how we now grow. So as we looked at last week, now we're no longer a slave. And that word slave is a powerful word, because it means sin ruled us, as we've been speaking about some time back when we looked at redemption, where sin was our master. And no matter what I didn't realize it, but I was just serving sin. And I was doing everything I can to serve sin in my life. So I would go into debt to make sin happy. I would do all these stupid things to make sin happy, because I was a slave to sin. I couldn't free myself from the power of sin. That's humanity. See? So now in Christ Jesus, because He's perfect, now as I receive Him and what He has done for me, and you and I, as we receive what He has done, He destroyed that power of sin. We've been taken out of Adam. We are now in Christ Jesus. So now I'm a slave to righteousness. See, now there's a new law of the Spirit working in us. So now it's profound, because now righteousness is my new ruler. Righteousness now, Christ's righteousness is now the master, no longer sin. You see, grace reigns through righteousness. So now, because I've now received this gift of righteousness, I've received the Holy Spirit, now this powerful working of Jesus, the victory of Christ over the Adam, over sin, over death, the consequences of sin, etc., all that Christ did on the cross, now I receive that operating within me. So I'm able now to choose the walk, to choose to live in truth, to follow the Holy Spirit and to walk in truth. So if we say we love ourselves, then we follow and we walk in truth. If we don't walk in truth, then we don't love ourselves, because we prefer to be pain and messed up and deal with all this misery of sin, etc. If we love ourselves, we walk in truth, because God's truth is good. It's the best for our lives. He gave truth because He loves us, so that we can once again live in the reality of how He created us to live. That's a good life. See, and so that's what the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, helping us, revealing to us. So all the time, we're beginning to choose and realize, sin is no longer my master. I don't have to serve sin anymore. Sin doesn't rule my life anymore. Oh, no, no, no. Now this righteousness, Christ's perfection, what He has done, and all the benefits, all the fruit of His obedience, all that now is my new ruler in my life. And that's the victory. And that leads to holiness. That leads to godliness. That leads to a lifestyle, as we've been speaking about, live as children of light. It's a gift. It's not a struggle. It's not trying. It's simply learning to receive. See, and because we forget that faith has a work to it. So if I believe I've received this gift of righteousness, I will start to live it out. That's the work. I start to find that I'm now renewing my mind to it. I start to find I'm taking, when sin wants to take me captive, I'm working out my salvation. No, I believe I've received the gift of faith, a grace, of righteousness. No, no, no. And I choose. And as I choose, the power of God keeps on empowering us to be able to live out the life that God has called us to live. It's a gift. Hey, Our Father is so good. So that's why it's good news. Okay, so having said all of that, let's have a look. In Mark chapter 11, remember we spoke about the withered fig tree some time back. But he has an important teaching of Jesus on how to simply receive. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. How do we receive? How do we get our prayers answered? So remember, Jesus had spoken to that tree, and that tree withered at the roots and it died. And the disciples were amazed. Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. So Mark 11:22. And he says, have faith in God. And that's an almost an incredible starting point on how to receive. Remember, faith comes from hearing. So now there's a moment in our lives where the Word of God just opens up. There's a moment in our lives, and it's a continuous journey and relationship with God, where the Holy Spirit is revealing to us our Heavenly Father, what He's like. And all the time the Holy Spirit opens up a scripture, all the time the Holy Spirit speaks to us, whether to come, whatever the case may be, all the time that's revealing something about the Father's love for us. It's helping us to be, oh, Holy Spirit, you spoke to me because you love me. You don't want to keep me stuck in with this pain I am in. You love me too much to leave me stuck over here. See, and so we respond as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And in all of us, all the time, we're getting to get the revelation of our Father. So now we are fully persuaded that our Father loves us. We are fully persuaded that God's up to something in our lives. So that's the faith reality now, being fully persuaded that God has spoken is the absolute truth. So that's an important, have faith in God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, and that's that doubt, is that divided heart, where maybe, maybe not. Could be, I don't quite know. And we have to be honest with ourselves, because someone will come that's got maybe, blind or something, and they ask you to pray, and that, and you're gonna doubt. You've got to be honest. And then we say, Father, I'm still doubting you. I'm not fully persuaded that you are a God who heals. And then we go, and we say, Father, I need to be fully persuaded. Holy Spirit, you're my helper. Teach me. Take me into the truth of healing the blind, whatever it may be. See, so today you might not be able to pray for that person, but maybe in 2 weeks' time, you're fully persuaded, and then you're able to pray. See, so all the time as we are learning, have total confidence, that total full persuasion in God's ability, and now with this righteousness, be totally confident, totally persuaded that you and I have been declared righteous because Christ is our righteousness. We've been born in Christ Jesus. Be totally persuaded that whatever I do now, how I live, I've been declared righteous before God. Be totally persuaded that the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Spirit of righteousness, the Spirit of holiness, the law of the Spirit of life is operating in me. Be totally persuaded, Holy Spirit, you're going to be helping me through this day. I receive your ministry today. I receive your help today. Totally persuaded that what we ask the Father by the Holy Spirit, we are able to receive. Totally persuaded. Okay. And then he carries on and he says over here, therefore I tell you, so does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says, important there, what he believes and what he says, so it's a speaking reality, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Very important, eh? And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it'll be yours. If I'm honest about my prayer life, many times I pray and I don't really believe. I don't know how to receive. I'm not really fully persuaded that God's going to do this. Pray for your government. Pray for South Africa. Who's fully persuaded? Pray for a drug addict's child. Who's fully persuaded? Pray for a messed up marriage, broken marriage. Who's fully persuaded as one praying? It's all these doubts, divided heart. See, and so we've got to be honest with ourselves. We've got to say, Lord, I'm not. I wish you would rather just zap my spouse, whatever it may be. I'll be fully persuaded if I ask you, God, zap my spouse. I'll be fully persuaded that you're going to do that. You see, because it suits us. So we've got to ask ourselves these things. God, I'm going to be asking you something now. But I have faith in you because the Holy Spirit has really told me what's on your mind concerning this situation. Faith comes from hearing. So now I've got faith in you, Father. You have spoken to me, and I'm asking for that what you've spoken to me. I'm asking now for that to become a reality, to manifest on the earth. And I truly believe you're going to do that. And so now I receive that. So when I receive something, I'm able to speak it out. I'm able to release it. So when Paul and them writes the letters over there, they had received the revelation concerning Jesus. And now they spoke it out, they wrote it out, and you and I are living in the fruit of that incredible, I have faith in God, I believe, I received, and now I speak it out. Today we live in that fruit. So the receiving part is something that we need to look at. So anything that comes up within our mind, within our thoughts, Father, I've asked, but I don't really think. You know, this receiving is totally different because this receiving here is not like, just say now I come and I give you a gift. And you're going to say, I wonder who's going to take this gift away from me. I wonder what's the hidden agenda over here. What's the reason for this gift? And all these thoughts go through us. And that, because we're so used to being ripped off, we're so used to the hidden agendas, we're so used to all of these things over there. And so no. So when Jesus says to us something, guys, have faith in my Father, and what you're going to be asking, believe, don't be double-hearted, know that my Father does not have a hidden agenda, knowing that my Father is a good God, knowing that my Father is a Father, he's light. There's no darkness in his heart. Everything that he's going to be doing is for the benefit of us all. Knowing that the Father's going to give something and he's not going to take it away again. See, it's that kind of reality. So when this word receiving is saying over here, guys, it's not like the world where, receiving is yes, yes. It's a positive, it's an acceptance, full of faith. God, thank you, I receive it, it's going to happen. See, this is the receiving we're talking about. So the gift of righteousness, it's not Father's going to take it away. Oh, you know, oh, this guy, what's the hidden agenda over here? Yeah, Jesus, Father, you demonstrated your love so profoundly on the cross, sending your son Jesus, so that I can receive this gift of righteousness, and I receive it. And I thank you. So it's like an ownership now. You've taken it in. It's established within us. So every time my mind goes to the fact there that I'm not good enough, I've done this, I've done that. No, I've received. See, we fight the good fight of faith. And we receive this incredible gift of righteousness, whatever the Father has spoken, whatever promises he has given to you and I. So he carries on and he says, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Light consists of or goodness, righteousness, and truth. God is light. He cannot lie. So he has a profound promise. So what have you and I heard from the Holy Spirit concerning the Word of God that's opened up, concerning the mind of the Father, what's in the Father's will, what's the Father's heart? What have we heard? What has come alive within us? And all of us have got different, you know, different truths that God is busy speaking with. Now, okay, wow, Lord, I receive that truth. I believe, I receive that. Interesting. In, you know, we read that so often in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, I think it is, Hebrews 4, where come to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. For the word of God, let's go over here. Concerning Jesus, we have this great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then, as a result of that, on the foundation of this, let us then approach the throne of grace. Grace reigns through righteousness. So once again, we see the incredible grace of God. You can use the throne of grace. You can use the throne of God because God is grace. Okay. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So here again, we see us coming to the Father. Maybe it's unemployment, maybe it's retrenchment, maybe it's whatever the problem may be that we are facing over there. Oh, the Holy Spirit says, remember that incredible promise here. Let's go to the throne of grace, where grace reigns through the gift of righteousness. So now I'm not going in my dirty rags. I'm going now clothed in Christ's righteousness to the throne room of God. Now it's no, I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed, I've done this. Oh no, how can I do that? No, God, I deserve to be zapped. I deserve this. No. We're not going with those filthy rags anymore. In Christ they removed. We're going with a garment of righteousness. Father, we come into your throne with confidence, with boldness, face to face. And I'm asking for mercy. I'm asking for mercy. And I'm asking for grace. So now there's a mercy from God. Mercy from God. His loving kindness, his covenant love, this mercy. Coming, God's going to give it to us so that we may receive. So when I come and Father, I'm unemployed, or Father, this and that there, and I need your mercy and I need your grace. Now, this is what you said, whatever the Spirit of God has spoken, maybe reminding us that God is our good Father who cares for us, maybe that, whatever it may be, I believe. Thank you, Father, that's who you are. And now I receive. I receive income. I receive whatever it may be. And I thank you. I'm not divided in the heart. If I've got a divided heart, there needs to be healing. If I've got a divided heart, there needs to be a revelation of the Father's love in those areas. Because maybe we like the parable of the talents. Oh, no, God, I went and buried it because you're not good enough. You're a mean father. You're a mean master. See, it's a total wrong revelation of the Father. So now we come to the place where now, okay, Lord, I receive the mercy. Mercy, now God's active involvement in our lives. But now he says to find grace. Very interesting. Because now in all of this mess that we're taking place, I've gone boldly. Father, I receive the mercy. You're going to be involved with all this. Now let me discover your grace. Because in this mess, there's God in it. See, and sometimes we miss. We're so occupied with all the stuff that's taking place over here that we don't realize. But God, I see your presence over you. I see your involvement over you. Sometimes we've got to find the grace as we begin to really just stop for a moment and say, hey, God, you are here. You see? I've practiced finding the problems. I've practiced finding who to blame. I've practiced finding all these things. But now I've come to you, Father. I've come to your throne room. And I believe that grace reigns through this gift of righteousness that I receive. I receive the mercy, I receive the grace, and now I'm going to look for it. And when we start to look, we start to see the glory of the Lord covers this earth. We begin to see the grace of God working in our lives and people's lives. And so all of a sudden we're no longer groundbound. Now we are now seated with Christ, and through the gift of righteousness we can begin to see, God, this is working for our good. See, now it's a total different attitude, because you're seeing the grace of God. Now we can say, all things work out for the good, because we have received the mercy. We are seeing the grace of God. We're acknowledging it, and we can say, God, all things work out for the good. How do we know that we've received? We go back to that Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Then he goes on and he says over there, with all kinds of prayers and petitions, with thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving is the evidence I believe. See, I receive, and I want to thank you that I'm going to see it happen. I thank you that I've received this incredible promise from you, Father. I thank you that what I've prayed is going to become a reality. I thank you. Then how do we know that we have received? He then says, then the peace of God will guard our minds and our hearts. So if we don't have that peace, then we know we have not yet fully received. We still doubt. See? That's how we know that we've received or not. So if we're full of anxiety, we're full of all this stuff over there, we have not yet fully received. Okay. Now again, because we have the Helper, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm still anxious, I'm still there, I still haven't done how to receive. Teach me how to receive. He's an incredible teacher. He's the Spirit of truth. And now you will find there, just simply receive the Holy Spirit as teacher. And Holy Spirit, because of the righteousness I am in, you will teach me. It's part of the gift. Righteousness has been given to you and I. So guys, it's good to receive. James 1, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. He says over there that this faith, rejoice in all the trials and tribulations that you are going through, because it's enabling your faith to become so pure and strong, and you're growing in faith. And this must take place so that there's a maturity taking place. And then he says, if you lack wisdom, ask, but do not doubt. When you ask, believe that you will receive from God. So that time delay when we ask, and there's a time delay of the storm, that's when our faith and our perseverance and our character and all that's being shaped within us. So we've asked way back in 1997, when God spoke about the promise for our community. We've been pressing in. We've been believing, being fully persuaded that God can do something, not by might nor by power, but by Spirit. We've been believing in now the gift of the righteousness, and we've stepped into that. And all the incredible work of God is flowing through His Son, Jesus Christ. The centrality of Christ's life, His death and His resurrection. But in this whole process, all of us, we've been growing, we've been learning, we've been unlearning stuff. God is working on our character, He's working on so many areas of our lives, so that we can be so part of something so big that's about to happen sometime this year, where we start to really see incredible manifestation of incredible goodness of God in the lives of so many people. even this morning it's happening. Freedom. Because he's a good father, and we believe. So my own personal, you do this at home and that, my own personal there, I receive. I say, Father, what are you wanting to do this morning? What are you wanting to do today? And he shares, so I receive. And I speak because I believe. And it's always an amazing, every time there's confirmation from the prophetic voices, this sharing again and again. So it's not just, it's two or three witnesses are confirming what the Father's up to today. We are just finding freedom because we just simply have received the gift of grace, the gift of righteousness. So he's a good, good Father. So as we have communion this morning, it might be today the first time that you will sit quietly and say, Father, today I believe that your Son lived a perfect life in my place, because I could never do that. And today I receive Christ as my righteousness. I receive the gift of righteousness. We can be believers for a long time, but we have not yet entered into the revelation of righteousness. And so we're living as Christians, battling all the time, and not living in the reality of the gift of righteousness. And the involvement of God, because grace reigns through righteousness. So today may be, as we have communion, this your time to receive the gift. Maybe today it might be a time where you just sit in the presence of Jesus as we are, and you just, Lord, here I am. Just, I receive from you today what you're wanting to do. And just allow God to speak. And remember, the moment those thoughts come up to say, no, man, I'm not good enough, the fight of faith. And you just renew your mind and say, no. Christ, you're my righteousness. You're my good enough. I'm in you. Just receive. Amen. Father, as we have the communion with you, Lord, and we sit with you, Father, in the heavenly realms, we sit with you here on this earth, but also just in the reality of so many saints that have already departed. We celebrate together today, Jesus, your death and resurrection. We celebrate with heaven. We celebrate with the believers on the earth. We celebrate you, Jesus. We celebrate your incredible life of righteousness. We celebrate how you have set us free with your blood. We celebrate your body, Lord, where you became man so that you can be broken, so that we can be made whole. We celebrate you, Jesus, this morning. So thank you, Lord, with the angels and with the choirs in the heaven. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this brilliant time to eat together, partake in your incredible death and resurrection. And I thank you. The Holy Spirit, we receive whatever you're wanting to do here. It's not by might nor by power, but Holy Spirit, it's by your ability. It's your love for us. It's your involvement in our lives. And we receive all that you're wanting to do amongst us, what you're wanting to share, what you're wanting to do. We thank you this morning. Oh, Father, to sit with you, loved by you, accepted by you. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. Amen.